The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Folks, welcome to the Eric Metaxas Show, sponsored by Legacy Precious Metals. There's never been a better time to invest in precious metals. Visit LegacyPMInvestments.com. That's LegacyPMInvestments.com.
Welcome to the Eric Metaxas Show with your host, Eric Metaxas.
Boy, we've got something really special, Albin.
People
traditionally expect us to do, once a week, we do an Ask Metaxas segment where people write in all kinds of questions, and I have the fun of trying to answer the questions, right?
That's right.
Today, we have special questions from the crew here at TBN. In case you're wondering, we're in the glorious TBN studios here in New York City, and the crew... they thought, hey, we've got some questions, okay? We work hard here, and we've got some questions for Eric Metaxas. And I thought, why not? So you're going to ask those questions,
yep.
And I'm going to do my best. Folks, I'm just going to do my best. That's all I can do.
As producer of the show, they officially handed it to me so that I could ask you, and
yes, here we go. I'm scared, but go ahead.
Get ready.
Go ahead.
Explain why Colonel is pronounced Colonel. Now, it's spelled C-O-L-O-N-E-L, but why is it pronounced Colonel, K-E-R-N-E-L?
Okay, and my answer is, I don't know. I'll look it up just like you can look it up, okay? But I don't know. I don't know everything. I know a lot of stuff, but all the stuff I don't know, my brother knows, and he's not here, so I can't answer that question.
Yeah, see, I think you fool people into thinking you're really, really smart.
I know, okay. It's not true.
Okay, another question. We've heard that Albin, that's me, has a twin, but have not seen or heard said twin. Is he his evil twin?
Is it his evil twin? Now, actually, this is interesting because everybody thinks Albin has a twin, maybe he has an evil twin. And the reality is that Albin is the evil twin.
That's right.
And I know that because I know Albin personally. We've spent a lot of time.
Here it is.
And if either of these twins, his brother's named Anthony, if either of the twins is evil, it's definitely Albin. But I've not met your brother in person.
No.
But we did an interview with him on this program like a long time ago. We did an interview with him and a couple of times.
Yeah.
And he really does look a lot like you, but not completely. It's easy to tell you apart. Some twins are the Benham brothers, I give up.
That's right. Yeah.
But with you and your brother, I can tell you apart. So yes, you do have a twin.
Just one. Just one.
That's it.
That was enough.
Okay.
Do you speak fluent Greek? If so, can you, in the Greek language, express how you feel about the crew?
I don't speak fluent Greek, but I speak fluent Greek American.
Explain.
Greek American. Well, I don't know. I can't. Well, no. I always say this. I say if I meet somebody who's Greek, right? I say "Demilao kala talinika yati tin mitera mou ine Germanida ke spiti mas milisame mono aglika," which means a fool and his money are soon parted. No, it means that. My mom is Greek. My Greek is not very good because my mom is German. So growing up in my house, my mom and dad, they didn't speak Greek to each other. They spoke English. So I speak fluent English. But I can speak enough Greek to fool people, like with what I just said. I think I made one mistake. But the point is that it's not fluent. So I can get by in Greek. I can understand a lot of Greek. I can speak... we had a guest here, Eugenia Constantinou, who wrote that brilliant book, The Crucifixion of the Lord of Glory, The Crucifixion of the King of Glory. Brilliant book. And she had Suzanne and me to her home in San Diego when we were there. And we were talking, whatever. And she said, yeah, we speak kitchen Greek. It's kind of like the basic Greek. It's not, you know, it's not really fluent, but we can get by. So I can get by.
But you were supposed to say something about the crew, but I guess you can't because
It says, can I express how I feel about the crew?
Yeah.
Δεν μπορώ να πω αυτά τα πράγματα εδώ, γιατί. I'm just going to leave it there. Δεν μπορώ. Δεν μπορώ. Καταλάβατε γιατί δεν μπορώ.
It sounded good, actually. Yeah. It sounded good.
Yeah.
Can you please interview Dr. Harambalops Chalapakos? I'm sorry, I fouled up this name. From the Christmas in New York special. Remember that? I think we can try some filming and editing magic to make that happen. So.
Okay, so the question is, can I interview Dr. Yeah. Harambalops Chalapakos?
There you go.
The name of the Greek person, it's Chalapakos. When we did our Christmas special here at TBN, which you can see on Rumble, if you look, it's insane. Let me just tell you, like, you're gonna be worried about me, and that's you should be. But the craziest part, Chris Himes and Seth Ward, my dear friends, they kind of bullied me into this. They're like, "Do you a Greek character? Do you a Greek?" And I was like, "What are you talking about? I didn't even know what they were saying because I often just do this crazy Greek stuff." And at some point, I just decided to do it, and I'm actually amazed I did because I don't normally do stuff like this. But if you watch, there's a character named Haralambos Chalapakos, and could I interview him so it'll be me interviewing him? Yes, I guess I could do that. And so I want to say to the TBN crew who are asking these questions, yes, challenge accepted.
Ooh, okay, we'll see that down the road, hopefully.
Do it.
I love fishing and enjoyed reading about your fishing adventures in Fish Out of Water. Do you have a favorite fish tale or prized catch other than what you shared in your book?
One of the reasons Fish Out of Water is titled Fish Out of Water is because growing up, fishing was my main hobby. And there are a million fish stories, not the standard fish stories where you exaggerate, but true fish stories. And I don't know that I share them in the book. I mean, I don't know how, because in the book kind of gets long, but I remember one, when my brother and I were, maybe 11 around that age, we would go to Belmore, Long Island, because my Uncle Joe Sarantonio and my cousins lived there. And Uncle Joe did a lot of fishing, and they had a neighbor, Mr. Balk, and he had a boat, and every now and again, we would go with their son. We were friends with their son, Michael Balk, Belmore, Long Island, and we would go fishing with them. And I'll never forget one time we were fishing for shiners. They're small bluefish, right? And so you're casting out these tiny minnows behind the boat. You're kind of trolling.
Yeah.
And I will never forget this. A seagull, a huge seagull, spots the bait in the water because it's maybe, a foot beneath the water. We're like, pulling this behind the boat. The seagull goes down, gets the bait, and gets hooked.
Oh, no.
Okay? And this is like something out of a movie or a fairy tale. Suddenly, I had a seagull on the line. And the seagull is flying up into the sky. It's like a kite. And you're like, what do we do?
Oh, gee.
What do we do? Because the seagull is hooked and it's flapping its wings. It was like kind of, for a kid, it's like a traumatic thing, right?
Yeah.
But it was an unbelievable thing. But we had to reel it in like a fish.
Oh, yeah.
So that we could cut the line. We cut the line. The seagull flew away with the hook in its mouth and the line hanging. Mm. And by the grace of God, to this day, it makes me... I feel the release when we saw the hook fall out of the seagull's beak.
Oh, good.
And I was just like, oh, my gosh.
Well, that's what
But it was like reeling an angel out of the sky. It was the most insane thing.
I think that's what they call fly fishing, right?
That's pretty funny.
Bonhoeffer. Okay, next question. Bonhoeffer is an amazing book that I think every pastor should read. Could you please say something more about your time with Ruth Alice von Bismarck and Renata
Baitke.
As I would think that would be a very moving experience.
I'm pretty sure that in the 10th anniversary edition of my Bonhoeffer book, the new one, the 10th anniversary edition. So if you go online and you buy it, it's kind of a slightly more close up of the face of Bonhoeffer. But in that book, the 10th anniversary edition, in the hardcover, I did a long introduction where I talk about meeting these women that knew Bonhoeffer personally. And it was extremely moving to meet these women who knew Bonhoeffer personally. It's hard to take in. Both of them have passed away. But I had the privilege in 2008 of spending long afternoons with both of them, with Suzanne. And it was kind of amazing. But that's in the introduction to my Bonhoeffer book, the 10th anniversary edition. We're out of time. Thank you, TBN crew, for those amazing questions.
The one you know by. Don't you ever ask them why, if they told you you.
In case you haven't been paying attention, the Biden administration has caused a financial crisis and they have no clue how to fix it. Oil prices have skyrocketed, and when oil prices go up, the cost of transportation and shipping spikes, leading the prices of goods to rise. And when we're already seeing record inflation, that's the last thing we need. Our economy is in trouble, and you need to take steps to protect yourself. If all your money is tied up in stocks, bonds, and traditional markets, you are vulnerable. Gold is one of the best ways to protect your retirement. No matter what happens, you own your gold. It is real. It is physical. It's always been valuable since the dawn of time. Legacy Precious Metals is the company I trust for investing in gold. They can help you roll your retirement account into a gold-backed IRA where you still own the physical gold. They can also ship gold and precious metals safely and securely to your house. Call Legacy at 866-528-1903 or visit them online at legacypminvestments.com. Tell me, Eric, why is Relief Factor so successful at lowering or eliminating pain? I'm often asked that question. The owners of Relief Factor tell me they believe our bodies were designed to heal. That's right, designed to heal, and I agree with them. So the doctors who formulated Relief Factor for them selected the four best ingredients. Yes, 100% drug-free ingredients. Each helps your body deal with inflammation. Each of the four ingredients deals with inflammation from a different metabolic pathway. And that right there, approaching from four different angles, may be why so many people find such wonderful relief. So if you've got back pain, shoulder, neck, hip, knee, or foot pain from exercise or just getting older, you should order the 3-week quick start discounted to only $19.95 to see if it will work for you. It works for me. It has for about 70% of the 500,000 people who've tried it and have ordered more. Go to relieffactor.com or call 800-4-RELIEF to find out about this offer. Feel the difference. Hey there, folks. I like to bring you encouraging good news. Often I fail, but not now. Right now, I am just so excited and thrilled to have one of the two co-founders of Give, Send, Go on the program. Heather Wilson, welcome.
Thank you so much for having us.
I want to explain to my audience, because most of my audience probably doesn't know about this. Give, Send, Go. I am on the platform Give, Send, Go. And the fact that you guys exist, I met your brother Jacob in D.C., and we had already gotten on the platform. And I'm just astonished when someone steps up and does the right thing and creates a platform to stand against the woke, Marxist, anti-American, insane mob that is out there. So I'm just so glad that you, Heather and Jacob, created Give, Send, Go. But for my audience that knows nothing about this, tell us the story. Tell us the story of that other platform and why you started Give, Send, Go.
You know, when we started Give, Send, Go, we actually did not know where we would be finding ourselves in the battle today. We started about 8 years ago, some siblings. I'm from a large family, so Jacob and I are 2 of 12 children. Big family, 6 boys, 6 girls, same mom and dad, not Catholic.
That's like a TV show. I was going to say same mom and dad, not Catholic. That was the question.
That was the question.
Obviously Catholics or Mormons or something. No.
No.
But listen, anytime I hear about big families like that, that's just a separate issue. But I just rejoice. There's just something so beautiful about that. We're not here to talk about that. But I just want to frame this. So as you explain this, What is the other platform that everybody's familiar with that has gotten pretty woke?
We don't even like to name them, but GoFundMe.
Okay. So people need to know that this kind of crowdfunding thing, GoFundMe, a few years ago got popular, and you'd put something up on there on GoFundMe, and people could raise money. And pretty quickly we discovered that GoFundMe was woke. Like a lot of these corporations, they either have no values or they have values that are antithetical to the values of most Americans that I know. And so they begin canceling people. They begin taking sides rather than being a neutral platform to raise money. They begin. It's kind of like if FedEx said, we're not going to send your package because we don't like you. And you think, wait a second, it's just your job to send packages. Like you're not supposed to. So when GoFundMe started going woke and started canceling people that I think of as heroes, I said, this is a nightmare. This is a terrible thing. Then GiveSendGo steps up to the plate and you are doing an amazing job. So, but talk about how this happened. I mean, how did you create GiveSendGo? What made you think about this?
So we had seen GoFundMe becoming a thing, and it was actually a really cool thing to watch people to be able to come together, give money and see causes and people helped. And we thought as a Christian family, wow, what if we were to, that's what the church should be doing first off, is helping people. And if we all work together, we know we can make a bigger impact. What if we were to create a platform that does the same thing as GoFundMe, which is allow people to come together, give money to solve a need. But as Christians, we understand that money doesn't solve all those needs. It's definitely helpful. It meets the material needs. But we know that there's a hope that's bigger, that when people are raising funds, a lot of times it's for a hopeless situation and they're feeling alone and devastated, maybe a cancer diagnosis or a lost child who died in a car accident, some pretty heavy things. And we thought, what if we had a platform that we shared hope with people as they fundraised and met both of those needs that people have today. And so GiveSendGo was born just as an alternative. I can tell you now we call ourselves the replacement because like what you said, when a company decides to segregate half their audience because, and we call it woke, I even call it judgmental. They want to cast judgment on anybody that they disagree with. When a company does that, they're bound to fail. And so we're not just going to be the alternative or the parallel. We are going to be the replacement.
Well, look, when we're talking about the free market, we know the free market has limits. If somebody says, okay, we're going to do slave trading or something, you say, no, we can't deal with that. But the point is that in America, the idea that major corporations that in many cases effectively act as monopolies, whether you're talking about Amazon or YouTube or Twitter or Facebook, I mean, that they have made a decision not to abide by American values, but to abide by these kind of Chinese communist Marxist values, it's a chilling thing. So first of all, everybody needs to understand that. And when you have an option, you need to go with that option. So when you guys created GiveSendGo, I was thrilled. And I think I said it, I am on GiveSendGo because we have good reasons to be on there and difficult reasons to be on there. I am being sued. We have legal bills. YouTube canceled us. And so we need help. And I thought if I get on GoFundMe, they're probably not even going to – they're going to cancel me once, you know, they figure out where I'm coming from. So the idea that GiveSendGo is there and that people have been able to give to what we're doing at Metaxas Media and to help – and we need the help. Otherwise, I wouldn't be on there. But I just have to say – this is such good news that you guys have stepped up, because it's one thing to think about this, but to actually do it. So you and your brother, Jacob Wells, you said he's in Boston, you're in D.C., but you created this thing and you're helping all kinds of people. Tell us some of the success stories and some of the people that you guys have been helping, names that we would know.
Sure. And so actually, so we had been walking year over year growing as this alternative to GoFundMe. And then we, you know, just as a great Christian platform, if you will. And we woke up one morning in August 2 years ago and had a ton of hate mail, which had not been the case up until then. And we thought, what's going on the site? And we pull up and very quickly we find a young man named Kyle Rittenhouse has come to our platform because he has been canceled off every other social media platform. They took away his voice and said, you don't deserve, we're going to judge you by the little clips we see on Facebook or the mob mentality. We're going to say you're guilty. We're not going to give you the right that's afforded to you in the United States. And so Facebook, GoFundMe, PayPal, everybody had canceled them, him, and he came to Give, Send, Go as his last resort. And he found a place where he was able to raise over $600,000 for his legal defense fund. And more than that, he told us that we have a pray now button on our campaigns where people can send messages of hope and encouragement. And he said there were times where he felt so alone, and just to go in and be able to read those encouraging messages was as valuable as the money at points of that struggle. And so Kyle started us off being thrust into this national spotlight for just allowing someone to raise money for legal defense, which is absurd that would be what caused so much angst in people, that we were allowing someone to raise money for a legal defense in the United States where he's supposed to be innocent until he was proven guilty. Well, and then we all saw what happened.
That's the whole thing, is that we have people out there, and by the grace of God, this will change. But we're living in a time when people feel it's like the Salem witch trials. I mean, these kinds of things have happened all through history. It's a mob mentality. It's satanic. It's very dark. And it takes people over, and they begin to be judge, jury, executioner. They no longer care about fairness. They no longer care about evidence. They no longer care about the basic standards of American civil society. Innocent until proven guilty. Let the man, let the woman have her say. We don't do that. And so that's why we, Metaxas Media, and I myself personally, turned to you at Give, Send, Go, because I thought, we're living in crazy times. I can't even have the Eric Metaxas show on YouTube. Why? Because I dared to have on a guest to talk about the election, or to have a guest on to talk about the vaccine mandates. And you think, this is called living in a free society. We're supposed to be able to talk about these things. And I just want to say that we're going through tough times, but the good news, and this is kind of, when people say this is the invisible hand of the market, folks like you and your brother pop up and you create these things, and people are just rushing because they say, we didn't know this existed. We are just thanking God that there's a place we can go where we don't have to worry about getting canceled because somebody cocks their eyebrow and says, well, we don't like you. You're too this or you're too that. So Give, Send, Go is the platform. And I read all the encouraging messages. I want to tell you, Heather, I read them. I get choked up sometimes that there are people out there. They're tracking with me. They're following what's going on, and they want to encourage me, or they want to thank me or something like that. And it's just a thrilling thing that you guys exist. It's givesendgo.com/Eric for me. I don't even think you have to put in Metaxas. It's just Eric. But there's so many other folks that are there. When we come back, we're talking more to the co-founder with her brother, Jacob, Heather Wilson of Give, Send, Go, givesendgo.com. This is good news, and we wanted to share it with you folks. Stick around. MyPillow is having their biggest sheet sale of the year. You've all helped build MyPillow into the amazing company it is today. Now, Mike Lindell, inventor and CEO, wants to give back exclusively to his listeners. The Percale bed sheet set is available in a variety of colors and sizes, and they're all on sale. For example, the queen size, regularly priced at $89.98, is now only $39.98 with our listener promo code Eric. Order now, because when they're gone, they're gone. The Percale sheets are breathable. They've got a cool, crisp feel.
They come with a 10-year warranty and a 60-day money-back guarantee. Don't miss out on this incredible offer. There's a limited supply, so be sure to order now. Call 1-800-978-3057, 1-800-978-3057. Use the promo code ERIC or just go to MyPillow.com, MyPillow.com. Click on the radio listener square. Use the promo code ERIC. The offer will not last very long because these Percale sheets are known to sell very quickly. Order now with promo code ERIC at MyPillow.com. That's MyPillow.com, promo code ERIC.
Folks, welcome back. I'm talking to the co-founder with her brother Jacob of Give, Send, Go, a non-woke alternative, which is to say an actual alternative to GoFundMe, which I just have to say, Heather, it's heartbreaking that these things that come out there like GoFundMe, that they go south, they take these ideological points of view. The biggest story in recent months was what GoFundMe did. This is so despicable. It's just amazing with the money that people gave to the Canadian truckers to show their solidarity with the Canadian truckers. Give, Send, Go. I mean, I can't even believe they had the ability to do this. But this is why you guys Give, Send, Go. Why you need to exist because of what GoFundMe did with the truckers. Talk about that.
It was crazy. It actually spurred us to be way more people using Give, Send, Go now because of what GoFundMe. They showed their colors in such a way. It was unbelievable. So people had gone, Canadian truckers started a campaign on GoFundMe. They raised $7-8 million Canadian dollars. And then what happened is that they... GoFundMe decides they're going to freeze the funds because they're not sure if it's legal or it just goes against what GoFundMe stands for. And so instead of just saying we're going to refund these funds, first they try this whole thing. And I would love to be in the boardroom seeing these people decide on this, where they go, let's just tell people we'll designate the funds instead to charities of our choosing, which is just absolutely insane.
That's theft.
It is theft.
It is called stealing. You give your money to one thing, and then the people who take the money. It's like the bank saying, well, you know, all that money that you've saved over the years in the bank, we've decided since we have the money, we're going to spend it on things that we like, and there's nothing you can do about it. I mean, that is utterly beyond belief. This is called theft. And this is what GoFundMe has done. I mean, I don't know how else to process that. Where did they get the idea they had the right to do that with money? That's not their money.
It's this mentality that they feel like they should be able to control things. And we're watching it happen just recently with the bodega clerk, right? Here's a bodega clerk in New York who gets attacked and he uses self-defense and ends up killing the guy attacking him. And he's taken off GoFundMe because GoFundMe says, oh, we don't allow violent criminals, the defense of violent criminals. I'm like, he was not the violent criminal. He was defending himself against the violent criminal. And they wouldn't let him raise money for his legal defense, even though it was obvious self-defense. We're seeing it happen again and again. It doesn't make sense. And that's why there are alternatives popping up. That's why people are stepping out and saying, we need to make platforms that stand for freedom. At Give, Send, Go, when Kyle got found not guilty, people said, we're so glad Give, Send, Go had stood with Kyle. And we said, we didn't stand with Kyle. We didn't know if he was innocent or guilty. That is not the fact. The fact is that we will allow people, even that we disagree with, because we live in America and everybody deserves a voice.
I mean, again, I have to say, I was so glad to realize that Give, Send, Go was a place where I could go, because, you know, we have real needs and we want to connect with our audience and say, if it's possible for you to help, we'd be super grateful. But I know that if it weren't for Give, Send, Go, I wouldn't be able to do that. And again, this is the good news of the free market, is that we see things popping up here and there, not enough, but in this space, I mean, I am just thrilled that Give, Send, Go has popped up, and that people don't ever need to go to GoFundMe. You can forget about it. And I have to say, it's one thing if somebody makes a mistake once, but they have doubled down. I mean, the thing with the bodega clerk recently, you kind of think, what world are they living in that they feel that they need to be the arbiter of these kinds of things? It would be like a bank saying, well, we're not going to take your money because we don't like you, or we, you think you're just a bank. You just have a job to do. What are you talking about? But it's gotten to be like that, which is why I want to encourage people to check out GiveSendGo, GiveSendGo.com, because you guys have – you've done it, and you've done it big. And I mean, you've raised a lot of money for a lot of great causes. And I just want to say, on behalf of my team and behalf of Americans who love America everywhere, thank you, because we really do need this.
Well, we are glad to be filling this space, watching the segregation happen on these other platforms where they segregate half of society. We say, no, we're not going to stand for it. We're happy to be here. We're happy to be a platform that stands for hope and for freedom.
Well, you know, it'll be interesting to see how things play out with these other monopolies, these other gigantic platforms, whether it's Twitter or Amazon or YouTube, because it has a chilling effect on freedom. And folks, if that doesn't mean anything to you, that's where we are, because so many of us, we don't even understand what is happening. But when folks like you, Heather, and your brother Jacob stand up and create something like Give, Send, Go, you're just making it possible for us to plot a way out of the woods here, that we're gonna get out of this, but we need to link arms and work together. So I want to say to anybody, by the way, who's gone to GiveSendGo.com/Eric and donated to what we're doing, I just want to say thank you to those people. And I read every one of those messages on there, and I just want to say again, that is a big part of what's so beautiful, that people are able to, you know, if they just give a little bit, and but then they say something sweet about why they're doing it. I thought that's just worth more than I can possibly say. I want to, I think we're out of time. Heather, givesendgo.com is the platform. God bless you and Jacob, and may the Lord continue to use you. You're doing his work. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Hey there, folks. I'm talking to Pete and Seth Talbot. Remember them? They're my friends, and they are the Talbot Group. Okay, we're doing a series of business questions where I ask this kind of a classic question, and you guys answer. All right, so the question has to do with five-year business plans. What do we think of five-year business plans?
I think it's appropriate for me to answer that question first.
Okay.
And then let him take it from there, because I'm old school. We talk about this. If you go to our website, talbotgroup.com, you'll see that we are a combination of old school and new school. And quite frankly, and I'm glad this is true, you need both. You need both. But in the old school model, I grew up with businesses developing five-year, even 10-year business plans. And certainly 5 years and 3 years and 2 and 1 year. Well, if you're building... if you develop a five-year business plan and stick to it, you're almost guaranteed to lose, to fail.
Toyota said that they have a 100-year business plan. I remember that being a thing that they were very proud of, having a 100-year business plan.
Isn't that amazing?
Well, and they're in serious trouble, and it's not that surprising that they're as far behind in innovation and developing in the future with new cars.
Is the point that 5 years
is too long?
It's
too long because things are changing so much that by the time you get to three, you're already...
Yes. In fact, one-year business plans are great.
Yeah.
But if you don't have your finger on the pulse of your business, your website, your conversion, your retention, all of these, if you don't, the economy is changing, marketing strategies are changing, technology is changing. You have to have your finger on the pulse, making changes.
Yeah, Yeah, I would say that there's a difference between having a 1, 2, 3, 5 year business plan and knowing what your key performance indicators. So in business, those are the key metrics, so KPIs. Mm-hmm. Your KPIs, keeping those as your primary targets, may not change throughout 10 years, meaning you know new customers, retention, lifetime value of a customer, how long they stay with you, the margin off of that, your cost of goods sold. So how much does it cost to deliver the product or service you're delivering? Keeping your eyes on those and having targets for that, that makes sense. But one of the things that I'm always stunned by is that because the idea of having these really sophisticated, fully vetted 20-page business plans is kind of an older school way of looking at it, you run into this kind of almost like a generational disconnect where these older business owners feel like without having that, they don't have a legitimate business. When in reality, as you're developing new products or services, or if you're taking an existing product or service and you're trying to make it work, there's going to be some decision forks that come up of if this works, then what do you do?
Right.
Well, how do you create all the different variation spinoffs? You don't. Now, having targets of what you're trying to get to makes a lot of sense, saying we want to try to get to X amount of revenue, or we want our cost of goods sold to get under a certain amount, which means we have to get to a certain volume. Because a lot of times you can't deliver your, if it's a physical good or whatever, you can't get your cost down until you hit way bigger numbers.
Right.
So keeping precise vision and obsessive focus on those is consistent. But there's so much responding to what's working and what's not that has to happen.
It sounds like what you're saying is that the standard 5-year business plan can be unnecessarily limiting.
Yes, because you're never going to think of all the different variations. I mean, if you're doing, which you should in any business, do a variety of A-B testing to figure out if this offer works better, if this incentive to stay subscribed or to stay as an active customer works better, how does that not immediately change your business plan? Because it has to. Because if you found that, again, you heard me say that founders usually start a company because they're in love with A, B, and C. And if they found some traction, customers often just only care about C, D, and E. And you don't even know that D and E exists. Well, when you discover D and E, trust me, that should impact your business plan and what you're attacking. And a lot of times, business owners don't know how to do that because what got them here won't get them there. And because they've found that A, B, and C worked, they're convinced that A and B are also what's part of the value proposition that someone cares about. And so, again, once you realize that no one cares about A and B, doesn't mean you change your values, doesn't mean you change why you care about the business, and that may be an internal culture thing. See, a lot of times companies blend their internal ethics of why they're there versus, and they map that to why the customers are going to buy their product.
It's kind of, I think of it as the standard head versus heart thing. Like you've got this passion, and that's good, but it can eventually cloud your judgment.
It always does.
Always.
It always clouds your judgment. And that can be the thing that drives your corporate culture.
Yeah.
That could be the glue of your culture.
Right.
Are the, you know, the things that got you there that made you so passionate about this, a concern for a specific thing like that got you your passion. A lot of times business owners started something on their own because they were ticked off. A lot of innovation comes from someone being in a vertical for a while and saying, enough is enough. Why didn't somebody do this? And so there's that sort of passion behind it. That's the glue in a culture. But that doesn't mean that your customers care about the things that you went through that made you want to start the business. And so being able to say, okay, what are the things that got you here? You deconstruct it and then say, let's move this forward. Once you start testing those things, it may mean that you de-emphasize A in this situation. And owners sometimes really choke on that.
It takes a little humility, let's be honest. I mean, you're talking about Proverbs all the time. It takes humility to look at a situation honestly that way and to think, well,
to say,
what got me here is no longer going to work. Am I okay with that? And why wouldn't I be?
And especially for older business owners, they get into a rut, they get into tradition, and it's hard for them to make the change. I got lucky because my son is gifted in these areas as part of the new thinking, new business principles. And so new school, old school, we loved to help businesses that are struggling, and developing a business plan that is a little more flexible, a little more agile.
Agile is the right word.
Agile. Okay.
Word of the day.
So I want to tell people they can go to talbotgroup.com.
You have
a video there they can watch, Talbot, T-A-L-B-O-T-T, group.com to find out more. Or you don't mind if they call you?
Dude, call me and I'll call them back. 866-TALBOT. We'd love to talk.
866-TALBOT.
Got it.
All right. Thank you.
Guess I'll start it all again.
Folks, the headline is, we need your help. What do I mean by that? I mean at least three things by that. Number one, if it's possible for you to get to be part of our studio audience, August 3rd, 4th, and 5th, and 8th in New York. This week, it starts about 4 o'clock every day. We're taping the late night, the talk show with Eric Metaxas. It is a mainstream TV talk show. We don't have time to get into it now, but it's nuts. We've got a lot of mainstream guests. It's going to be a blast. We can't share most of it with you yet, but if you can get there, go to ericmetaxas.com. You'll see where it says speaking or schedule, whatever, and you click on it. Every day, you can sign up through Eventbrite. We'd love you there all 4 days or just one day. You can bring as many people as you want to sign them up, but this is going to be a wild, fun thing. We need some fun, folks. We need some fun because there's a lot of tough stuff going on, but we want you to be there. Please do what you can. That's number one. Number two, if you follow me on social media, let me just ask you, instead of liking what I put there, would you retweet it or would you share it? Would you share it on Facebook? I'm trying to get a lot of information out, and I don't think I've ever said this before, but a lot of times people will like something. We need to get the word out. We are being suppressed. We know that what we're doing, whether we're being shadow banned, I don't mean to sound like, you know, like the like Chicken Little. This is actually, or not Chicken Little. Who am I looking for? Oh, the boy who cried wolf. This is actually happening. Yeah. We need your help, folks, to multiply our message. Everything we put out, it's a struggle. So whatever you can do to help us. And speaking of helping us, as you know, every couple of times a year, we try to raise funds for an organization that we think worthy. At the top of the list is Food for the Poor. Food for the Poor is an amazing Christian nonprofit relief organization. They go where there is a need. And I just want to tell you right now, they are helping families who have fled the Ukraine. Now, we don't need to get into the politics of it. These are people that are suffering, and we want to show them the love of God. We want to help them. Food for the Poor, I can't think of anybody that I would trust more to do that. So Food for the Poor is partnering with a number of Christian organizations, relief organizations, ministry partners to get food, literal food, to these families that have fled their homes. They've left everything behind. If you know anybody who's ever been through anything like this, my parents experienced this kind of thing. It's hellish. And we want to show them the love of God. So I want to ask you simply to call this number to help, or you can just go to the banner. Our banner is MetaxasTalk.com. That's the radio banner. We want you to give. We want you to give generously. We just want everybody who listens to this program to do what you can. By God's grace, we are able to do something. Let's do what we can. So please go to MetaxasTalk.com, or you can call this number. I'll give it to you right now, 844-863-HOPE. Please dial that number. Please give what you can now. It's August 1st. We don't have a lot of time to do this. It's always a struggle. God bless you as you give. 844-863-HOPE, 844-863-HOPE. These are people that are struggling, and we need to do what we can to help them. 844-863-HOPE, 844-863-HOPE, MetaxasTalk.com. You'll see the banner there. And Albin and I will shortly let you know. Everybody who gives anything, we will put your names
in a hat, so to speak, proverbial hat, and we'll have a number of grand prize winners. We want to give you signed books and all kinds of things. And I always say anybody who can give $10,000 as tax deductible, I'd be delighted to have dinner with you, to spend an evening with you. We always manage to make that work. So remember 844-863-HOPE, 844-863-HOPE, or go to MetaxasTalk.com. God bless you.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, deliver the truth, whatever the cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never before seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, deliver the truth, whatever the cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to salemnow.com. Salemnow.com.